Hey guys, welcome back. I'm Chris Bircher, and I'm the neurodivergent professor, writing, podcasting, recording videos about things that matter, about the other side of life, about the non-mainstream, the non-conformist, reminding everybody that the world as it is painted for us by others is not the entirety of our reality. Subjectivity reigns, making different great again. I want to correct myself for one thing I said in the last episode, that, you know, largely this is a one-person show, but I do get some help making Instagram posts and YouTube video shorts by my friend Sophie, and I just wanted to give her a shout out, and I appreciate you making this a team effort, because it's a lot to do by oneself. Well, and I'm not whining about that, just sort of saying that it takes a village. It really does. And, you know, the more I wonder sometimes what some of these bigger podcasts, what kind of crews they have. I bet you it's hundreds of people. It seems ridiculous to me, but certainly the more the merrier. Many minds produce better products. And I appreciate everyone's help. And, you know, and if you're listening, you're even part of the team, right? I mean, that sounds cheesy, but especially for those that give feedback, you know, this is all, even though it's hard to decipher sometimes, you know, if I see that somebody has watched a video or whatever measurements I have of whatever is happening with this whole neurodivergent professor thing, that's meaningful. That's some data, you know, that's greater than zero. And whether or not it's important or it matters is another issue. And that kind of is a segue to this week's episode. The title is, this is episode 168 of about almost four years of doing this. The title today is Things We Could Care Less About. And this is one of my favorite sort of euphemisms and phrases that we use all the time. And I am so guilty of getting this wrong, but we say this thing like, I couldn't care less about that, or I could care less about that. And I get those mixed up all the time. And essentially what we're saying with that little idiom is the thing that we're talking about, the issue that's being discussed, it matters so little to me, it would be impossible for me to give it less of my attention, or for it to matter less, or for me to, you know, give a shit about it any less than I do. And a lot of times we end up saying, or I end up saying, people do this too, I could care less. That implies you could actually care less about it. So you have a little bit of care. And what does that care mean? You know, it means it's kind of like I say all the time, we are aware of it, we pay attention to it, we rank it as a priority in our lives to direct some of our energy toward it. And that's really what I'm getting at today, this idea that the things we care about oftentimes are things that have no consequence, that whether or not we care about it makes no difference in our lives, except, and even worse, I guess. So that's one situation. I really couldn't care less about that. It's impossible for me to care less about that. It's not on my radar. I don't spend any time or energy on it. The real danger is things that we care about that affect us only in a negative way. And I think about things like gossip, or what, you know, reading gossip magazines, or getting upset, disappointed about the lives of celebrities, or even things like getting really worked up about wins and losses for our favorite sports teams. You know, when these things, our bodies don't know the difference between our child getting injured by, I don't know, a dog biting them, and getting disappointed at the loss of a sports game, right? I think, you know, there may be evidence to support or refute this. It doesn't matter. I mean, it makes sense. It is sensible to me to think that our bodies integrate. And I talked about this with the cumulative stress hypothesis, and really this episode is just a building off of that, right? Of things that upset us or build up stress, you know, that's what I'm looking at. The things that we care about that induce stress might not be that important, and they may be harmful. Okay, that's what I'm getting at. And how do we know the difference? Can we go inside of that amount of stress that our bodies can sort of integrate in a way that doesn't cause any kind of pain or upset, or dis-ease? And can we filter out the things that really have no consequence? And that's what I was getting at last time. Like, some things just don't affect us, or we can't control in any way. It's sort of like what other people think about us is a good example. We have no business worrying, or not worrying about, but so what other people think of us is none of our business, right? Not only can we not control that, and we do, the way we dress, the way we talk, codependency, people pleasing, we oftentimes try to control our relationships, but someone else's idea or opinion, their story, their dream of us has nothing to do with us, really. It's inaccurate at best and totally wrong at worst. And I get it. It bothers me. Right now I'm having sort of a situation in my family. I wish I could make people understand where I'm coming from. And again, this goes to communication. I don't understand how people get along in life, because the stories and the dreams that we want people to think, or who we think we are, is not who we are perceived as. And it drives me nuts that I can't accurately explain to someone my true nature and intentions. And instead, the way that I say something, the tone of voice, my actions, my posture, all those things figure into their interpretation of what it is I'm trying to do or say or represent. And it's not accurate. Sometimes it's close enough. I think, you know, we wouldn't be here if we didn't communicate with some degree of efficacy. Like, me need food, you know, oh, there's food. I got food, that worked. You know, where is the bathroom? Okay, there's, you know, things like that happen. But, you know, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings because I was trying to say this, but you heard this. And I wish you could not feel that, because that's not what I meant. But now it's too late because you've already felt it. You've associated those negative feelings with me, and we're having some sort of problem and disagreement based on something that's not even real. I wish I could undo all that and avoid that, and minimize that. And really, that's a kind of the goal we realize we'll never reach. You know, can we improve how we relate to other people and ourselves primarily, in order to, again, have this trickle-up effect where we start to make better decisions about how we treat the world, how we govern ourselves, the rules and the values and the things that societies implement, which I think are in an extreme state of disease currently. We need to fix these things, and all this is related to how we do that. And so let's just go down a list of things and kind of the alternatives, right? You know, things that we could care less about. Defense. I think we walk through the world kind of defensive. We expect people to offend us, misunderstand us, do things to attack us. You know, we are on the lookout. We have a negativity bias, evolutionarily speaking. We're vigilant. Many of us, not all of us. Ignorance is bliss. We go through the world fear-based. We are looking for the worst case scenario sort of thing. We kind of do that. What can we do instead? What if we could find a way to caring less about defending ourselves from potential attacks from the people in our lives, from the outside world, from politics, from the housing authority, from your job, whatever, and get into a more offensive, positive situation of, you know, no, it's okay. I know, I understand that I can handle the things that are coming at me, and I'm no longer sort of afraid. And I don't even think offensive is the right word. It's more of a, can I just relax my defenses and be a little bit, maybe vulnerable is kind of the condition that we, so if we could care less about being defensive, what would that look like? If we could allow ourselves to be vulnerable in the most Brené Brown kind of sense of the word, how would that change the way we navigate the world? And if once that reaches again some critical mass where we sort of help each other out, what would that look like? You know, what would that look like if I passed somebody in a car with a whole bunch of Trump stickers and anti-gay and anti or pro-racism sort of stickers all over their car. What if we have to have an interaction, but I'm not coming at it from a defensive mode, thinking this person is going to attack me for being a long-haired and an intellectual liberal or whatever? What if I felt free enough to believe that there wasn't going to be some sort of negative outcome in that exchange? I mean, that would change a lot about how we live our lives on a day-to-day basis. Okay, just one example. How about, I talk about this all the time, see many previous videos about this issue, competition. Kind of the same way. You know, we're comparing ourselves to other people and trying to win the competition. You know, they're better looking than me. They're younger than me. They have a better whatever job than me. They have a nicer car than me. That's a competition, right? And so that it's a defensive posture. It's a, it's you're coming at it, this whole thing from a defensive position. What if we could just cooperate more? What if we could just be more open to accepting that differences are not negative or positive, or really that differences are positive and not negative? And the same kind of thing, comparison. Why do we even make those comparisons in the first place? What if we could look at things like, wow, you're different than me and that's bad? And what if we could turn that into, you're different than me and that is normal? You know, I'm not even talking about turning these things into opposite, because I don't really believe you should turn negativity into positivity. It really should be more about, what's the neutral condition? What is the thing I could care less about? What is its kind of opposite? And what is in the middle? That's the target I think we should be aiming for. So if we're like, or like richness, you say, I need more money. I need an excess of stuff. I need things, right? What if we said, what's the opposite of that? I don't want to give everything up and have nothing and be naked in the streets. But what's in the middle there? Maybe a shift away from money to measure our richness with. What if we measured our richness in relationships and people? What if we actually could still maintain this and we're just looking at it the wrong way? So there's another kind of way to redefine what we're caring about. But caring about stuff and money and material goods is not benefiting us and probably causing us stress, unless you happen to be, because it's causing most of us stress. Some people have all those things. They're good-looking, wealthy celebrities that don't, you know, and maybe they're still doing the same thing. And that's the funny thing about this, right? It's never enough. You never actually find the peace and joy in these things I'm talking about that we should care less about. And that's part of the reason we should care none, zero about them. It's because they don't bring us any joy. They have no intrinsic value to our soul, right? It's a different value system of measurement. So really it's like not even things we should care less about. It's things we should stop valuing. but the, you know, the point is that idiom of, I couldn't care less about that. You know, another thing is like pride. Like, why do we get so wrapped up in finding comfort in whatever attributes about ourselves? You know, and that's great. That's good. We should be proud. It's okay to be proud of and recognize the things that we do well. But what's another thing we could do is just sort of embrace the fact that we have good features and bad features, and we're all human and we all do that, and we get us all into a big group. If we are all sort of focused on a similar value set, we can sort of enjoy the pros and the cons and the good and the bad, and accept and nurture the failures and the shortcomings that we have. And instead of focusing so hard on what's good, because I think this focus on, you know, whatever it is that's positive or I don't even know, valuable about who we are. And probably that's not even merit-based. It's just something we were born with. You know, I'm tall. That's considered to be valuable. But I can't take any credit for that. It's like when somebody comes in and says, wow, you have a really nice house. It's like, well, I didn't build it. All I did was buy it. It has nothing to do with me. And that sort of gets at like this idea of snobbery and pretense and hierarchies and ranking. You know, don't you think that in caring less about those things, it's going to open us up to some, dare I say, more natural condition of not doing that, about saying, you know what, those things really aren't that important. And it's one thing when those things bring you joy, like I have wealth, I have height, I have a nice house, that's all good, and it brings me some sort of joy. Well, number one, it doesn't really. Or the joy that it brings you is short-lived. And number two, the absence, that also, the lack of those things creates a problem. And that's what I'm really getting at, you know. So the state of caring about that stuff leaves open, you know, this dichotomy of the have and have-nots. And even if the have-nots don't necessarily miss having blue jeans and skateboards and air conditioning in their lives, when they hear from enough people that those things are important, they start to believe it too. And so that in that way, this is like a contagion. Caring about these things more than zero is a global problem, because now we're creating a hierarchy. We're creating demand for something that may not have mattered in the past. And I think a lot about indigenous cultures that are perfectly fine and then get exposed to Western materialistic values and start to experience scarcity and lack. You know, if they had never started to care more about these things, there wouldn't be a problem. And so, you know, at some level, this all goes to the global values. What are characteristics of the world that warrant care or worry or concern? And what aren't? And that's what this list is supposed to do. You know, and an interesting one is caring about other people, what other people think about you versus worrying about the things that we can control. Now, that's something we hear about a lot in psychotherapy and coaching and personal growth. And that's true to a point, but flip that. So I'm saying we should care less about other people and what other people think and more about ourselves. But at the same time, we could care less about ourselves in a very selfish sense and more about other people, right? It's about sending love out into the world. And this is a really interesting one, and it probably is like a yin-yang infinity symbol Möbius strip kind of relationship where they're both and yes and no and all and none. You know, we have to understand ourselves. We have to take our personal inventories, define our values, develop a practice, and then start to relate to other people, you know, in a prepared state instead of a random and reactive state. And there's another one. Being reactive to the world, we should care less about. We could care less about. Being proactive in the world is something we could care more about. And in John Kabat-Zinn's, I love dis-ease, dis-ease. It's a state of non-ease or unease. Anything that pushes us in that direction, we can think about and redefine and say, what's going on in here? And is it something like, you know, Kim Kardashian's butt size? Or is this the health of my parents? You know, is this something I could care less about? And how do I do that, if so? And this this isn't just, I mean, I guess this part of it is about giving ourselves permission to not pay as much attention. And that's really what I'm talking about. Not to spend our attention, our awareness on things that are either of no consequence or induce negative consequence. And I mentioned an example of this before, my worry about the future, catastrophic thinking episode, and my own personal, you know, belief in that. I honestly believed for most of my life that me projecting future scenarios that could happen to me in my life and worrying about those in a way that caused anxiety and much dis-ease and strife and illness and lack of sleep and weight loss and, you know, physical, that worry about the future didn't work because Newsflash, spoiler alert, I can't control what happens in the future, but my need to do so blinded me to that fact, and I learned to believe that I could, and then I believed even further that it was the worry. The more I worried, the more I cared about controlling the future in a negative, you know, which induced negative effects on me, the stronger it got, and the more likely I was to be okay. And as I got older, it just turned out that I learned a lot of things unrelated to that belief system, and I would just be okay. And you know what? Sometimes things would happen in the future, and I wouldn't be okay. No matter how much I worried about it, new things would still happen. In fact, if you look at my divorce, you know, the things I worried about the most and thought I was controlling for to the greatest degree, things that would never happen because I was so concerned about them, those are the things that actually happened. As if the world were saying, a giant slap in the face to me to say, snap out of it, dude. Not only are you so incredibly wrong about this, the only way we know to illustrate this to you is to take the thing you're most concerned about and care so much more than you need to about is the thing we're going to slap you with to hopefully make you get it. It's so funny to think that it's ironic, you know, that the things we try to control for the most and not happen are things that probably end up happening. And that, I think, is the ultimate illustration of that idea that, you know, I'm just wrong about how I do things. And I think that's an example. And so this part of it is just about undoing those things step by step. It's like the personal inventory I talked about in the past. You got to go down your list. And I think the best way to do this is just to let it come. And you, again, meditation and mindfulness are the only way I know how to do this, is to buy yourself a moment to enter the observer's perspective where you can actually see yourself exhibiting some behavior that's so automatic that generally you don't catch until you're so far down the road that it's already happened. Now, that's the key. You have to be able to look at yourself from a neutral perspective. And that's really, really hard. And the only way I know to do that is to practice some technique that helps you do that. And meditation is the only one that I'm aware of. I'm sure there are others. And so what you do then is you say, you know, man, why am I so upset? You gave yourself that moment, you earned this moment, and you're like getting ready to go to the store or something, you're in your car, and you're just, you don't feel right. Say, what's going on? You know, like, well, I'm afraid I'm going to run into my ex if I go to the store, because we used to go to the store together, and that's going to cause me a lot of discomfort, and maybe I just shouldn't go. And then you start doing the whole thing where you think, maybe if I can just not go, I can avoid this disease. And then it's maybe no. And then maybe you're so far down the road, you're having a fight that you had in the past over something that's completely unresolvable because that person's no longer in your life. And then you watch this long enough and you might understand that you have some issue. And maybe the issue is just you haven't grieved about it. Maybe you just haven't really thought about this, or maybe you're blaming yourself, or maybe you have some false belief that you're a terrible person as a result of this, and it's just keeping you in this like activated state up at your above your cumulative stress threshold or whatever it is. But the fact that you identified this issue you have, and then you can get to know that more as time goes by, and you just sort of like record that over here in your personal inventory, like, you know, it matters to me. You know, or I associate my value as a person with mistakes I've made in the past, or whatever that becomes. And the more these things happen, the more you catch yourself. It really isn't infinite, you know. It really ends up being like a very finite set of things. And you can just start adding tick marks to these lines to the point where now I can sort of summarize the 15 years of therapy that I've done. You know, my belief systems and what happened to me and where things changed and what I want to address and the things I could care less about and the things that I'm good at not caring about or things that maybe I need to care more about. I can put all that stuff in a pretty short narrative. So it is doable. And this first step is really about unattaching, giving yourself permission. And that's where I was going with the worrying story. Like, I believe so strongly that my worry controlled the future. It was really hard for me to let go of it because I believed it. And it really came down to the only way I could stop it is to give myself permission to do it. To sort of say, it's okay if you don't worry about this right now. Like, maybe I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, oh man, I got to do this thing next week. And what if this happens? And I go, no. I caught myself because I've practiced and I've learned and I've trained to do that. I was, oh, I caught myself. This is great. I see myself doing this. I don't want to continue down this path. I give myself permission not to worry right now. And guess what? I fall back asleep. 10 years ago, I might not have fallen back asleep at all. And I would have probably continued ruminating and perseverating, my wife's word, I love that, for the next 24 to 36 hours about this thing, unable to let it go because I'm so terrified that I've created some scenario in the future that is going to hurt me because I missed, you know, I need to worry more. And that's huge. You know, if there's any evidence or sales pitch for whatever it is that I'm doing working, you know, that is one. And so far, I could be totally wrong and it could be coming around the corner at any minute. My permission to stop worrying about the future has not caused the problems that I've believed that it would, right? So we'll see. And so I think that, yeah, I think this is like the first step, the personal inventory. Do I care about this? Like, why am I getting so worked up about this? Or why am I feeling ill today? It's like, well, my team lost Monday night and it's Wednesday and I ate really bad on Tuesday because I was kind of depressed about the loss. And now I just seem run down and maybe I'm getting a cold and like, maybe these things are related. Maybe, you know, I should care less about the outcome of sports games. And I'm not picking on sports games. That's just the first idea that came to my mind. Or, you know, maybe it's like you get a new car and there's a dent in it and you start beating yourself up for being irresponsible and a bad car owner. Or maybe you're beating yourself up because you're such a victim and the world just hates you and all these things are happening. You know, those things contribute to dis-ease in your system. They build up your stress closer and closer to the threshold. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, can I, you know, it's almost like our life screams at us through our discomfort that something's going on. And the trick is, can you find things associated with those situations that you can identify as things you could care less about? So I invite you to stop caring so much about stupid shit, you know, to the degree that you can. It's helped me. And I really think I'm tackling these things every day. I'm trying to care less and less about things. And it's only created net positive results in my life. So I'm Chris Bircher, the neurodivergent professor. This has been episode 168. Things we could care less about. So good luck on your journey. If you like what I'm doing, please share this with your friends. I'll see you next time. Take it easy.